Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 27. On today's show, the PSL said no to Gaston. The Bundesliga is back and Pito's contract almost wrapped up. A quick happy birthday to Fortune Makaringe, whose birthday is this week, and Percy Dao, whose birthday is this week. And a big shout out to our listeners over on Mahikeng FM 96.7. Welcome to Game Time. I am not alone. We have the one, the only, the man with the gloves who's got a lot of love. It's Sean Roberts. How you doing?
Slew dog. What an intro. Thanks, buddy. I'm good.
And up next, we also have the man with the boot. I don't actually have a plan. I was trying to come up with something. But Tekomedi said the general himself. How you doing?
I'm good. And you, bro? I think that for sure, and that was the best intro I've ever done. Ever.
It was brilliant, eh?
Right? Yeah.
I need to make them rhyme. I think that flows quite nicely, right?
Because it came natural.
I feel valued. Yeah. Thanks, Slew.
Oh, man. Well, we'll pass it right to you because we need... I made you laugh, Sean, so you got to make us laugh now. It's a joke of the daytime.
Sure. Well, they do progressively get worse and worse, so here we go. What did the goalkeeper say to the ball? Catch you later.
Are you talking about yourself right there?
You didn't catch it during them games.
Damn. Jeez.
Oh man, that was I think not
that was the horrible.
That was horrible, yeah.
It wasn't.
That was horrible.
Thank you very much.
But the PSL has finally made a judgment regarding Gaston Sereno. Nearly 8 months after the incident. They have finally reached a conclusion. The PSL DC has handed down a 75,000 Rand fine to Gaston Sereno, a 2-match ban for slapping Dean Furman and Clayton Daniels in the face. And then Sundowns themselves have been fined 200,000 Rand. So do you guys think that this is a fair judgment? And what do you make of the fact that if you had impregnated a girl when Gaston slapped those two players, it might have been born by now.
Sean can answer that better.
Yeah, because my wife's pregnant. I mean, she's 8 months, guys. I mean,
that's dope, man.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's so long ago. I can't even remember what Makola got for his ban. So I'm trying to compare it. Teko, you might know.
Makola got 2 matches, and it was probably maybe the judgment was given within the space of a month or so, or 2 months, I think. So for this one to take this long, I think for the PSL itself, you know, it didn't do justice to what this DC is about. You know, you can't wait for that long for to take a decision. Number one, this thing happened in the MTN semi-final, dude. Like, that's the first competition in the league.
Yeah.
And that starts in August. So now we are in, I don't know. And for the fact that it took so long, it becomes a worry. So because the reason behind what I'm saying is going forward in terms of other cases as well, they need to work on those cases as quickly as possible, because at the end of the day, the fans, we want to see the judgment being done, but also want to see the player back on the pitch, because that's where he belongs.
So the sooner
you get done with these things, the sooner the player is back on the pitch. The coach also wants the player back on the pitch. Also the player, they're also feeling what they did was wrong, but sentence the guy. It's not like he killed somebody where you need to go for trial and all that stuff.
You know what I'm saying? It's a fair ban. I think to answer your question, Slew, the ban is fair. I think a portion of that of the money to be paid is suspended as well. So let's just move on from it. 8 months ago, I mean, I cannot believe we're still talking about
this. Yeah, it's long overdue.
Done.
Sold.
I have one small little question. How does this impact? I mean, think about this. This ban is for an incident that happened in September, and now the ban will actually impact Sundown's title race potentially, because Sereno plays an important role there, but the ban will have to be served out in the PSL. So how does that impact their run in if the PSL does
but Slew, it was going to be the same thing then. because at the time then they, I think it's at some point they were complaining that they were competing for Telkom Cup as well. So they were worried that he might not be there. So it's still, I think the impact will still be the same, but just that now it's going to be more visible because now they're chasing the title and they're in that fragile stage where they need every player that is available. But yet again, you're speaking about Mamelodi Sundowns. You're not speaking about Baroka United, where there's, you know, there's a lot of talent within the team and everybody needs to put their weight in. Yeah. Not to say anything bad about Baroka, but Sundowns got too many players to come in and do the business. And the, and for the fact that this is out already, I'm sure it's a sign of relief from the team as well, so they can get it over and done with, because there's, what, like 6 games to go. So just 2 games, and then you'll be able to play the remaining four, which maybe for those remaining four will be the, maybe one of those games will be the title decider. So at least he'll be there playing for the team.
Agreed, agreed. Everyone's favorite team, Baroka United, by the way. Anyway, moving on to the international news desk. The feature where we take a look abroad and have a look at European news from our favorite leagues that side. And the Bundesliga is set to return this weekend with match day 26. All games will be played behind closed doors. Saturday we'll see Dortmund, Schalke, Wolfsburg, Augsburg, Leipzig, Freiburg, Frankfurt, München, Gladbach. Oh, so much phlegm. And then on Sunday, Bayern Munich face Union Berlin on Sunday, and then on Monday, Werder Bremen, Leverkusen. Many of you are wondering, of course, in South Africa, and I'm sorry, no, SuperSport does not have rights to broadcast Bundesliga matches yet, at the time of recording it, which sucks, and it means we have to do illegal things to watch it live. Otherwise, we can only do highlights. So what do you guys make? Who are you guys backing? Are you going to be trying to find a way to watch? Do you have a team in mind? What are your feelings for football finally returning?
Yeah, I mean, it's in terms of the Bundesliga. Sorry, I'm just trying to pronounce it as well as you do, Sluk. Bundesliga. I think my money's still on Bayern. I think I've read earlier this week that Lewandowski is back as well after quite a bit of a lengthy injury. And if you keep him fit, you know, he's the heart and soul of that team. Borussia Dortmund as well, proper team. And if you keep Haaland fit as well up front, then both teams are in for a shot. But my money's still on Bayern, to be honest. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, Bayern obviously will forever be the favorites because of their track record as well. And it's also interesting to realize also that this this break that has been given to teams as well, it has given opportunities for players that were injured to come back, hopefully fully recovered from the injuries and to be able to take part in their games as well. But on the Dortmund side, what has been interesting is Haaland has been a very interesting boy this season, and Sancho as well. There's been a lot of talks about him moving to Manchester United. So there's, you know, there's interesting players within both teams, which we know that it can go either way if they put their mind to it. So it'll be very interesting to see how Bayern retains and how Dortmund respond to that. But yeah, I mean, but my money's still on Bayern, the big guns. But it's very interesting also to see what the underdogs always do, and which is Dortmund. Sure. So I'm looking forward to see that. I hope I'll probably do something illegal to watch those games.
I was about to ask.
Chief, it's been a while since I've seen a live televised game. I'm busy rewatching the games that I played in 1996. It's about time I'm watching something that is live. Damn it.
Definitely. And of course, you know, watching this will kind of set the tone for a potential return for any other league, particularly the Premier League. And I think the PSL execs will also be taking notes, because I think they've recently announced 14 days is what that committee has to make a decision. And I think watching the Bundesliga, they'll get some clues as to, okay, this is what we can potentially do. Obviously, we need something tailor-made for us, though. But on that same note, the UK government has given the Premier League some hope. The Premier League could be set to resume behind closed doors from June 1st after the UK government set out a roadmap to emerge from the coronavirus lockdown measures this past Monday. There's a 50-page document called Our Plan to Rebuild, the UK government's COVID-19 recovery strategy. You know, it's an interesting thing. There's no formal announcements from the Premier League as yet, but we do know that restriction measures for training are set in place place now, and teams still haven't agreed on the concept of neutral venues. I don't know if you guys saw that whole thing, but it's an interesting time. It's still a while. I think the Premier League is really holding all their chips, and they want to wait and buy their time. What do you make of the potential now for the Premier League, maybe next month or the month after that?
Yeah, Slew, they've actually named this Project Restart. So I mean, it's hope, but it's a bit of a false hope because nothing's been agreed upon just yet.
Yeah.
And like you said, given that Bundesliga clubs will use their own stadiums, why would they have to explore neutral venues? And that's what's sort of been proposed.
Yeah.
Mm. So clubs are they're pushing for home and away games. How that works, I don't know. What the Premier League clubs have also discussed is the need for 4 weeks of group training before, so like a mini pre-season, which is sort of acceptable, but how they're going to squeeze it in, you know, I'm not too sure in terms of time.
Yeah.
Mm. And just in terms of the concept of isolating entire squads in a secure environment, which I'm a big fan of, if we're going to get out of this lockdown, is to do that. And that's what they've been speaking about. But then that in turn will sort of go against the idea of using home and away games. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, to be honest.
For me, it's what interesting is the home and away game advantage. When you play with your crowd behind you, it's an advantage on its own.
Yeah.
But now there's nobody that's going to be there on the pitch to come and support you guys.
That's cameraman.
Dude, so now when you start speaking of home advantage, I don't think it's something that I'll be very interested in, because I know for a fact that nobody will have a home advantage because there's no fans that are coming there to support you. But yet again, you understand where the teams are coming from, you know, playing in a familiar pitch, you know, familiar surroundings as well. I think it's more on the mind than the physical part. But I just hope that they'll find, you know, a solution to this, whether they use a neutral pitches or not. For me, is to see them coming back and play so that the league can end. Mm. But hopefully with what Bundesliga will be doing over the weekend, I think it will fast track so many things in the world of football, you know.
Sure.
And that will be interesting to see. But I mean, we've been waiting for EPL to kind of make a decision on that, because that's one of the biggest leagues in the continent. Yeah. In the country.
Yeah.
Not in the
yeah.
country, in the world as well. So now it'll be very interesting to see where they end up, because if I was part of the committee to read a 51 page document, it would take me 3 months. Yeah, man, 51 pages to decide whether to play or not.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
Oh, and there's man. Pressure. And I mean, you know, you guys spoke about the home and away thing. I think another thing there is, and this is a small thing, but it's very prevalent in sports, is superstition. It's just this idea of, you know, if you have a fortress, we're unbeaten at home. You know, suddenly if we have to play away, we're forced to play at a neutral venue. Maybe that spooks you out a little bit, gets in your
head. But also, Slu, if you check, all the teams that are complaining about the home advantage is of teams that are right there relegating, fighting for their lives. Nobody's sure. fighting for championship for the title. Actually, is complaining about that. But yet again, people want to survive. People want to use every tactic to survive. People want to do everything that they can to survive. But they need to understand one thing: everybody suffers from this, and everybody's going to have the same disadvantage and advantage like everybody else.
True,
you know.
True. And it's
for sure.
It's a tough one, but there's some light at the end of the tunnel at the very least. That's the best we can hope for at the moment. Up next, we have a feature called The Secret Footballer. In
yeah,
this
yeah.
feature, our sister Ooh. Magazine, our sister publication, Kickoff. If you look at their back page, they have a feature called The Secret Footballer, in which an anonymous, either former or current player, speaks on something going on in local football. Sean Roberts is the man who lets us know who that is. Or not who that is, but what they're going through.
It's definitely not who that is. Yeah. The Secret Footballer, Sue. The Secret Footballer.
That's why it's called The Secret Footballer.
We are back on the subject of Mutti again. Yes, so I'm just going to read a little bit what this footballer has said. But I must stress that Mutti doesn't help you win matches. All it does is give you strength and wisdom. When you go to church, prayer will not heal. It will make you mentally stronger. And that is what Mutti does.
What?
If Mutti was meant to... Yeah, I'm just... hey. Don't shoot the messenger, brother. Let me finish.
He's crazy.
Let me if Muti was meant to help you win, we would have won every trophy in this season. The only thing that heals you is medication. Muti will not help you trap the ball and score. When I was at SuperSport United, we did not use Muti. We went to dressing room, and an hour before the match, we would get the lineup, warm up, and start playing. Blah, blah, blah. And it continues. So, obviously, a lot to talk about there. But in a nutshell, Teko, coming back from something like the lockdown, do you think that certain clubs would look towards Muti in terms of helping the guys mentally progress? It's a crazy. I can go on and read about this for hours. Your draw will drop to the floor. It's quite amusing. But yeah. What's your feeling on this?
I hope it's a player that is not playing anymore because he's crazy. Number one, he says the prayer doesn't help. Ah. You know, it doesn't. Let me say this. The teams that are using Muti, they're using them for their own reasons.
Sure.
And I don't think I've never been a believer of Muti. I think I've been speaking about it for so long that it's something that I've experienced and it has never worked for me. And I've always been in trouble for that. But for me, is teams do have this religion or whatever you can call them that they've been doing for so many years, and they believe in those things, and they believe that those things actually will help them bring results, not helping to see individuals being able to do the basic stuff, to control the ball and all that stuff. First of all, if you can't control the ball, what are you doing in the PSL in the first place?
Get out.
So for me is, teams that have been doing all these things for so many years, I think they'll continue doing them. And teams that they don't believe in Muti, they believe in preparing very well, they'll also do that. But I think the fear factor comes in where teams that are not preparing very well, they try to find external forces to help them win the games. Mm-hmm. And that on its own is, instead of relying on the talent and the players that you've acquired, you're relying on an external force to help you come through. You know, and that's been my problem with Muti is people actually believe that it works. But anyway, people believe in whatever works for them. But
sure.
For me is for the fact that you've been selected, for the fact that you've been scouted to come and play football at a higher level, which means you are talented in some way. Yeah. So now you're good enough to participate. So once you're there, and then you start believing in external forces to make you great. Chief, if you are not great, you're not going to be great. Yeah. Whether you apply sardine on your forehead, you apply monkey gland, whatever the case, you'll never be good.
Yeah.
Finishing clear. And if you're not preparing, I don't care what kind of Muti guy you use from Congo, from wherever you want to use them. If you're not preparing for the game, you will not win. Finishing clear.
Agree.
It's just that simple. But it's just that some teams use that as a ritual. And like you said, there's players also that have their superstitions, you know. It's just that it's what the players believe. But for me, I don't think there's ever been a case where Muti has been the ultimate, you know, winner at the end of the day. I think it's just us in Africa where we believe in Juju, and Juju has never done anything for us but just takes us 100 years back.
It's game time. It's game time. That's it.
Game time is game time.
That's it, brother.
Yeah.
Preach. Preach.
So now we want to take a look at how Brexit could impact Percy Tau's future. So, of course, all of you know, former Mamelodi Sundowns star Percy Tau is currently plying his trade over in Belgium, thankfully in the first division with Club Bruges. He's played Champions League football this season, but he has struggled to secure his spot. He has been a feature in the team, but you know, he's on loan there from Brighton, and so the issue is that Bafana is not a top 50 nation at the moment, and so that means that Percy Tau cannot secure his work permit in the UK. But Brexit could change that, because it will essentially put all non-English players in the same boat with regards to securing that work visa. So it will now depend both on game time for the national team and the ranking. So, you know, there's been players who are Brazilian but haven't played for Brazil who are getting work permits, but now they'll be in the same boat as Percy Tau, where it's like, nah fam, how much have you played? And of course Percy Tau is central to Bafana. This would only come into effect in January of next year, because that's when England will leave the EU. So he still has a bit of time to also showcase his talents even more. He has a bit of a window to shine and potentially make that Premier League debut at some point in the near future. What do you guys make of this potential for a very political thing to end up benefiting Percy Tau potentially?
Yeah, Slu, I mean, so basically it's up to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got 6 months now to play, to train, to eat, to sleep, like he's never done before. And he's pushing for a Premier League contract to actually play in the Premier League. Any kid's dream, right?
Yeah.
The problem is, if it comes to at the end of this where, okay, Percy, you're a great player, but you're not in our plans, then what? What I don't want to see happen is talks of him going back to Belgium, but to a sort of a lower division, like he started off, and he was obviously too good for that. I don't want to see happening him even contemplating coming back to South Africa, which there has been talk about that as well.
Yeah.
And obviously there's only one team he can do that with, and we all know who that is.
Yeah.
I want to see him progress because I do believe he's good enough. People went on about, you know, the 50 million rand that was paid for him, that was too much. Absolute rubbish. He's worth 100 million in my opinion. He's brilliant and he's only going to get better. He's been having issues in terms, well, so I've heard and so I've read, mentally, adjusting. That's why he's been out of the squad for the past couple of months and whatnot. But he's going to have to adjust a lot quicker if he's going to push for a starting 11 in the Brighton team. And I just hope it works out for him. I really do. What do you think, Tex?
Sean, like you said, I think it's all up to him. But with in regard of him being in a position to adjust, I think it'll build more of his character going forward. And I hope and I pray that coming back is not a solution.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to soldier on. And
this might
be the exact thing that he needed, maybe the drive that he needed, knowing for a fact that, you know, this might be to his advantage. So therefore, now he's looking forward to do something about it. You know, I've seen Percy, because people are speaking about Percy Tau, Sundowns, blah, blah, blah. They don't understand what he had to do for him to actually come in and play in that star-studded team.
Yeah.
Percy, when we won the first league when I won my first league at Mamelodi Sundowns, Percy was there. He was part of the team and he was not playing. Nobody was speaking about Percy. He was still a young boy that was coming up. Yes, he was training with the team. Yes, he had a PSL contract, but he would play most of the time with the reserve team. But that's what I'm saying, that he needed to adjust to the first team first. He needed to pay his dues. And now we're speaking about the boy that he hasn't been in Europe for that long. So he needs to adjust, and he's still young. He's 26. I think as a footballer, you know, you peak at your 27, 28, 29, that's your peak time, and we haven't seen the best of Percy yet. So I think this might be the right time for him to actually step up his game and step up his mental strength and show everybody that he is capable of staying longer. Because we want to have the Steven Pienaar story. We want to have the Benny McCarthy story. We want to continue that those legacies. And I think Percy is in the right track to do that. So is other boys. Yeah, so is Bongani Zungu. So is Keegan Dolly. I think they're in the right track. I just think that they need to find comfort in those, you know, in those situations that are not comfortable, where they need to adjust to a different culture. Those comes with ambitions. If you had ambitions to go overseas, it wasn't going to be easy, because if it was, all of us will be there right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's an opportunity for Percy to grow bigger and be the superstar that we're expecting him to be. And he knows what he's capable of. But I think this will be a big, big, big opportunity for him with this political stuff.
Yeah.
But you must remember that there's no better time than now, because as you said, Teko, he is still young. He's 26, but he's young in South Africa. Over in Europe, 26 is, you know, you've had to made it by now.
Yeah.
So he needs to keep that in mind. I mean, it's nice to have a back burner idea. If things don't work out, yes, I'll come back to South Africa, or yes, I'll drop down a division in Europe or whatever. But he needs to really, really back himself and push on. I couldn't agree more.
You know where my angle is also, Sean, is I looked at how Pienaar started playing regularly. He was around the same age when he started playing regularly. He left very early, Pienaar also. But he started playing regularly, 26, 27. That's when we started seeing Pienaar playing. And people also forget that Pienaar at Ajax, he was also not in the regular first team playing regularly. He had to go, you know, to his side. But Dortmund, he struggled there. Then he went to Everton for loan. So I'm saying that sometimes you never know which one is your right team. We might say now Pace's right team is maybe in the EPL. You might find out that he's actually maybe destined to play somewhere else. But he need to, you know, he need to go through those processes for him to actually discover himself and find the right team that will actually be suitable for him to become a superstar, that is. Because you can be a great player. If you can't find a good team that will actually use you properly, you can never reach your full potential. I think he's on the right track.
Yeah. And I mean, the good thing is that there is other options. You know, Brexit impacts the UK, but I mean, you know, the UK is not the only place for him. There's Spain, there's Portugal, there's France.
Exactly.
You know, you reminded me of Bongani Zungu. And just an update, by the way, with regards, we told you guys last week, French League has decided to close off the season. PSG are champions. They have this kind of maths that they used to decide the winner, because it wasn't very clear cut. And that maths kind of meant that Amiens, Bongani Zungu's team, got relegated. And there's just an update to that. Amiens have now filed a suit against the league. Mm. And they're going to be suing them, saying that this is unfair. We still had a chance to get back. It was only a 4-point gap. You know, this doesn't make sense. And so I just wanted to give people an update there. Because Bongani Zungu has been in the news recently quite a bit. He was supposed to move to the Spanish La Liga. That move didn't work out. Now his team is getting relegated. So there's some potential light, but I do think Bongani Zungu can still secure a move away as well. To a higher league. He's another one who deserves top division football as well.
Yeah.
So, but moving on, this week in history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This is where we take a look back. We hit the rewind button. In fact, since this debuts on a Thursday, we can call this a throwback Thursday. This week in 2014, surprise, Muriri Tekomudise and Cuthbert Malajila found the back of the net for Mamelodi Sundowns as they clinched the 2013-14 ABSA Premiership title with a 3-0 victory over SuperSport United. The fun fact, actually, this week last year, Teko Modise played his last professional match for Cape Town City before retiring.
Teko.
So, yeah. I'm on a throwback. Eh?
You're on the throwback, man.
You just reminded me of that game, man. It was. I think that's the game that actually changed everything for me at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Oh yeah,
because that's the game that we actually won the league. And after that, I mean, everything started going well for Mamelodi Sundowns. But yeah, it was a tough first half. I think we played only second half better. I actually watched that game, I think last week or so. Somebody tagged me on it, so I started watching it. Mm. I could see even myself on the face how nervous I was, especially first half. But yeah, second half we played better. But it was because SuperSport wanted to be spoilers.
Of course.
You know, they were playing for that white and blue jersey, nothing. After that, they had to go and drink Coronas. We're playing for the league. That's my friend. They want to come here and spoil us. So we gave them three. Shook hands after that. Fantastic.
You know what that reminds me of? Do you guys remember Sir Alex Ferguson's last match as Manchester United manager, where they were facing West Brom and the match ended 5-5? Yeah. And it was Lukaku scored twice against United. He was still playing for West Brom and they spoiled his farewell party.
Yeah.
The 5-5 at Old Trafford.
And Sean, also the fun fact on that, I think I've never spoken about this. I think that season, right after winning my first trophy at Mamelodi Sundowns, I was one of the nominees to be Football of the Year, right? And I was never given that trophy. You know what I got instead to compensate that?
What?
Sportsperson of the Year.
Sportsperson of the
Year.
No.
You cannot have
football. I'll take
it. That's overall. That's all sports,
look,
though, right?
Exactly, but why didn't they give me then the Football of the Year? Then I get Sports Personality of the Year. Come on, dude.
Give me this thing so I can have three.
Huh?
Who got it?
I don't remember who got it, but I think it was Villa. I think it was Villa guys who got it, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember who got it though, but I feel like if I was not part of the nominees or all that stuff, yes, that's fine. But I was part of the nominees and I played very, very well, especially in the second round of the season. And that's when football of the year are being judged on. Like when it's tough, what do you do for the team? And yes, and it just that once it was done, I was like, okay, sharp. But for me, the biggest thing was like, I don't care about individual accolades anymore. Like, I just wanted to be on the podium with the team. And when that happened, nothing else mattered. Of course, there was a cherry on the cake with football. Sports personality of the year. I mean, that's what I'm saying, that game changed everything for Mamelodi Sundowns. Yeah, not only for me.
Brilliant.
Since then, it's been good memories, upward trajectory.
Yeah.
Next one, this week in 1980, Kaizer Chiefs won the Champion of Champions final against Pubs, winning 3-1 on aggregate. It was the third time they'd won the trophy. And this week back in 2012, Juventus completed the Serie A season as undefeated champions with a 3-1 victory over Atalanta. What a time to be alive. Up next, we have a clip from a feature that we do on SL Radio called The Big Interview. I interviewed a woman who is a former Orlando Pirates, Sundowns, and Chiefs fitness coach. And I asked her about when she thinks the PSL should return, judging by players' fitness. And here's what she had to say.
It's going to depend on what they were maintaining during this lockdown. And as I was saying to you, if it's professionals that you're talking about, there shouldn't be a problem. They will immediately get linked up with their heart rate monitor, their GPS systems, and immediately they will be assessed the minute they get back into the team. And like I say, they might just be a bit of endurance, that speed endurance, whether it's just endurance, that might just be lacking. But I don't think it should be too long, because this is not a holiday that we all are having. This is a period of mental and physical strength that must come together, because it's only the strong ones that's going to survive this.
And there you go. She says the PSL return date, we assume this is obviously once the government gives an all clear and the PSL makes this decision, but it depends on the players. It depends on their fitness levels. And I think this kind of is a great time to talk about the fact that this week now we've seen Ben Mutuari of Orlando Pirates has tested positive for COVID. And so more than ever, you know, regardless of when the league decides, you know, it's time to come back, we now realize this is in the players' hands, really. This is about the safety of the players and the fitness levels of the players, because we also spoke at length in that interview about, you know, what if we rush this and players get injured or something worse. And so it's an interesting topic. And I think, you know, Sean, you used to work with Elsa, you know what type of lady she is, fierce, and she's right on this matter, I think.
Yeah, she was also at Ajax, Lou, as well. A few things that she's brought up. Basically, she's saying how important is that players are busy maintaining themselves now for when they do eventually come back. That's of, you know, just the biggest, most important thing right now is how they're looking after themselves. Mm-hmm. They are linked up to heart rate monitors, so they can't cheat the system. You know what I mean? You can't come back to this sort of mini preseason training and say, oh, this or that. You are linked. You cannot cheat the system. The good news is that if they have taken care of themselves, it would just be a matter of that little bit of lack of endurance that they're getting at the moment. And possibly, are they mentally ready fit for the next journey that they're about to take in? So, I'm just hoping, and we've spoken about this at length, Teko, I'm hoping these guys are looking after themselves off the field, because it's going to show when they get back if they haven't. That I guarantee you.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the biggest challenges the players have to face right now, especially not the teams, individual themselves, on how they've been carrying themselves during this lockdown. And also, I think it will be a mental strength part, a part where they'll be very, very challenged in that department, because as a footballer, you only need 3 weeks to be better. And in that 3 weeks, you're not expected to be 100% fit. The games you can manage, because all the teams, when they start the league as well, they're on 85, 90, 80, 88, 90% fit. So that's what you need to start this thing. You don't need to be 100% fit. And 3 weeks will actually give you that. And plus, we have new technologies, my friend. We've got heart rate monitors. So basically, within a week, you'll know where your team is and you'll know what to do and what not to do. It's not like those old times of Malombo Lichaba, where you have to run the whole UCT three times for you to be fit. So now there's certain the certain things that are put in place for you to get your fitness level very quickly. And also, it puts so much pressure on the physical trainers of their teams on what is it that they can do to make sure that the players are ready come the time where the game needs to be played. Because what I'll think and I'll hope that they've been doing in this lockdown is working on their muscles, strengthening the muscles, exercise, because that's what you can do, because you are not allowed to jog first. So that's what the point where you strengthen your muscles, you know, you make sure that they're okay. Once you start jogging, of course, it's going to be painful, it's going to be strenuous. But once you get that endurance a little bit back, then your touch will get back. Within 3 days, the touch will start coming back. You start feeling the ball. I think this is challenging for everyone, but I think the strongest one will actually show up and be counted for.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed. And up next, we have this situation regarding Peter Mosimane. Still, I have to say this up front, no absolute clarity, but it looks like his contract is almost going to be sorted out very soon with Mamelodi Sundowns. Of course, it comes to an end on June 30th, but I think everyone in the league wants this guy to stay. I saw even, I think Kazim Mutang recently spoke out in the media, or was it Irvin Khoza? I'm not sure, but they were saying, we need the Pizzos and we need the Gavins. You know, we don't want to lose these guys, these very experienced coaches, homegrown. So, you know, it's interesting, but I wanted to ask about this idea of, you know, because Pizzo has spoken at length about he wants to have a grassroots football foundation, and that might have been one of the issues, you know, when it comes to his contract, because obviously Sundowns has their own academy. So what do you guys make of Pizzo wanting to both be a coach and head up his own youth development program as well simultaneously?
Give the man what he wants, please. I mean, it's of course there's a lot of contrast in this. I'm almost 100% sure his contract has been done and they just haven't announced it.
Yeah,
That's just my personal opinion. Yes, there is a bit of conflict, or there's not a bit. There's a massive conflict of interest in terms of his academy and whatnot. But I understand where Sundowns are coming from, and I understand where Pizzo is coming from. So I'm actually on the fence here, to be honest, Lou. If it was just some, I wouldn't say normal coach, but if it wasn't Pizzo, I'd say, nah, get away. You don't belong there. Get out of here. But it is Pizzo, and what he's accomplished as a local coach, he's proved himself. I think Sundowns might have to sort of bend the rules a little bit for him. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think Pizzo is changing a lot of things for coaches as well. You know, as much as you said, Stu, that we need the kind of Pizzos and the governs, mainly because South African football, you know, it's very interesting when those guys are around. And with their achievements as well, you know, it sets the bar high for other coaches as well to work as hard. And for Pizzo, if he gets that academy, and I wish that he does, so that he can open other doors as well for other coaches as well to look into it. Not necessarily maybe to have also an academy, but to look into it to become not just coaches, but something else as well. There's so many ways to give back into the sports itself. And most of the time, we're focusing on just one thing. This is what I want to do. I want to be a coach, and that's it. Not everybody can be Arsene Wenger. Not everybody can be, say, Alex Ferguson. But Pizzo's trying to move in a different direction and implement some certain things that are new, which means he still wants to be part of football until forever. And this is him saying, this is my legacy. This is what I leave behind.
Yeah.
Give the man
to leave a legacy.
Exactly. Give the man what he wants. Because he deserves it, and he has achieved, I think, more than any other black coach in South Africa that has achieved. Not only just black coach, I think a South African coach that has achieved. I think we need to give credit where it's due. I think if that's what he wants, of course, let him find a common ground where it works for both parties, and let him continue doing his job. It's just that the problem will come when he stops bringing results. I think they'll find ways out to you know, to bring him down, because we know how football is, we know how the sports is. We salute you, we clap hands for you while you're on your way up. We enjoy you, we praise you while you're there. But when you stay there too long, we want to bring you down as quickly as possible so that we can replace you and put somebody there. So I just hope that he will continue doing all these great things. And let's look at the positive on this issue. On he wants to make sure that other players as well get an opportunity as quickly as possible to become a professional player, because we know the story in South Africa. You become a professional footballer when you're 25, 26, and we're still considering a youngster. We actually see 18, 19 year olds. Hopefully that's, you know, that's his vision as well, to try and bring in so many youngsters within the PSL setup so that we can grow as footballers. That's why you see, you hardly see your Dane Clates anymore, where you have a player that plays for so many seasons, because now lately a footballer gets an opportunity to play in the PSL is 27. He plays 3 years, he's finished.
He's done.
True. And I think Pizzo's also, this is a response to the fact of, you know, the team that he's coaching is Sundowns, and Sundowns is a team that will buy talent. It is what it is. They want to churn out trophy after trophy, and there's no knocking that. I think Man City is the same type of setup, but I think he wants to be like, you know what, I'm also this type of coach, you know what I mean?
Also Slui, he wants to make that guap, dude. Like Sundowns, I've got a player, you know, he's 17, he's a striker. I think we can sign him. How much do you need, Pizzo? Like $5 million, you know? give me the $5 million. You know, he wants to make that guap.
Pizzo's looking for the South African Mbappe, so you can be like,
yeah.
Let me get these right.
100%. 100%. And he's out there. The South African Mbappe is out there somewhere, for sure.
And I like that he calls it a grassroots program as well. It means that he's not going to try and make it all glitz and glam. He wants it to be Ekasi, like from where he's from. So I like that idea.
And also, he was, before he became a coach at SuperSport, this guy was a scout. So he knows how to spot players. So he knows exactly that will work. But the question is, now if that happens, so now he needs to probably maybe put other people in charge in terms of selecting players for his academy.
Yeah.
So now how would he divide his time? That's what I'm saying, that if the team is not delivering, people will be saying, yeah, you're putting so much focus on your program itself that it drives you away from your actual job. And I think
that's been the issue, Teko. Yeah, that's been the holdup. The question has been asked to him, how are you going to divide your time?
Yeah.
And obviously I don't know the conversations behind closed doors, but you've hit the nail on the head there. But
have to agree with it, especially with a team like Sundowns, all that traveling. But you know, speaking of great coaches, it was last week in the Sokola Duma paper, we had a great feature on Chiefs coaches. It was actually of like overall what it takes to be a Chiefs coach, but we decided to take a look back at the Chiefs coaches of this past decade, 2010 to 2020. I've got the list in front of me here. I like the way it's divided up, because it's like guys who won things and then the rest of the
and didn't.
Don't be mean.
I'm sorry. Let me be nice. But we start with Vladimir Vermezovic. He got a back-to-back Telkom knockout championships. Back then, it was the Telkom Cup. And then there was the interim stage of Dr. Kumalo and Donald Ace Kuse. You know, even though they were there for a short time, that was low-key iconic as And then after that, we had Stuart Baxter, who went on to become two-time PSL champion, a Nedbank Cup champion, an MTN 8 champion. And then we had what I still consider a legendary run, despite the lack of trophies, of Steve Compella from 2015 to 2018, where he became the philosopher supreme that we all know and love. From there, we had Patrick Mabedi and Giovanni Solinas, both in 2018. And since then, we've had Ernst Middendorp, who is just this close to a PSL title, but no cigar. So who are your guys' favorite coaches of this past decade, or favorite coach of this past decade?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, it's, you know, I know Stuart Baxter personally, and I know players who have played with Stuart, not just at Chiefs but at SuperSport as well, and under at Bafana, and they've told me what kind of person he is as a coach, and it's the same person that you meet outside of football as well. So for me, that tells me he's not just a great coach but a great man, and obviously his record speaks for himself. We had two leagues, he won the Nedbank Cup and the MTN 8. For me, he's my favorite without a doubt. Vermezovic, two cups, you said, two Telkom cups. Yeah. He won the MTN 8 as well, I think, with Pirates. So he's a good coach, don't get me wrong. But I'm going for Stuart Baxter. And let's not put out Ernst. I'm telling you why. Because if by some miracle Chiefs do win this league this year, he's literally turned that club upside down. Do you know what I mean? But don't write him off just yet. But for me, it's a Stuart Baxter through and through.
Are you saying that about Ernest because of the core? I think
no.
Oh, okay. For me is I know Steve Compella, you know, and I know what a great coach he is, and but it's just that it's so unfortunate that Steve always does well in the so-called small teams, and he also is the guy that actually, you know, brings in new talent, you know, makes players, and we've seen him with his Platinum Stars team, with the Free State Stars team, where we always have a superstar in their team, and they always get sold to all these bigger teams. I think he was just unfortunate not to win anything at KZ Chiefs, but also he brought the other side of Steve, like you say, the philosopher that we actually like and we admire right now. But that's a person that I like as a coach, you know.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we need to also be factual about the numbers don't lie. And Stuart Baxter has been the best because he has won so much. And also the last time they won something, it was with him.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can see as well, I think the reason why he was the last coach that won something, because on the regular games, he never wore tracksuits, he wore suits. And other guys, they were wearing tracksuits and whatnot. And I think Mudendorp is on that trail as well, as wearing suits. He's trying to win the games. But I think the most important coach right now that can actually turn the fortunes of KZ Chiefs, I think it's Mudendorp. I think he's standing you know, being one of the coaches that turn things around. Because when you speak about coaches that turn things around, we can go back and speak about your Ted Dimitris. We can go back and speak about your Jeff Butlers, you know, your Dolezars. Coaches that we'll never forget because of when they came in, Chiefs was not doing that great. And then they turn things around. And I think Mudendorp will be part of that conversation if actually he does turn things around. I just hope that he does so that we can have this kind of conversations going forward.
Yeah,
definitely. Another reason why I love Steve Compella up there with those names is that on my starter pack, there's a few names who come up whenever I'm like, who was your first professional coach? What was your relationship with him? Like, where players will name... Steve Compella and Gavin Hunt have come up the most. Where players are like, he was like a father figure to me, helped me, gave me my first start, and I really enjoy hearing those type of stories, you know. Even if you don't come home with a trophy, to put somebody on the map, to help a player get his first start is a huge deal. Not many coaches 100%. Can make that claim. So
yes,
up next we have a look in the papers. We have a couple rumors. One of them is a recurring one. It always seems to come up. We saw it in January where Knowledge Musona might be returning to the PSL. So his agent said the priority is to keep him abroad, but if there are good offers from solid football clubs, and that is absolutely importantly now because of COVID-19, he will consider them. He's of course struggling for game time abroad, and right now both Sundowns and Chiefs have been linked, but realistically, because of the transfer ban, Sundowns looks to be the main destination that he could go to if he were to come back. So what do you guys make of this? Should he just pull the trigger and, you know what, it's been so long, I've been linked. So clearly there's been chat about it between his agents and potential clubs, but should Knowledge Musona come back?
No, he shouldn't. I mean, it's no secret that Pitso's a big fan, and I'm a big fan. I think he's a top player. But he must do absolutely everything possible to stay in Europe, just like any player. You know, if you want to come back, you come back here when you're 33, 34 for the last 2-3 years of your life, not now. That's my opinion. I think he should try and stay there. He's a very good player. It's obviously just not happening for him where he is at the moment, and that's fine. That happens in people's careers. It's not an issue. Time for a little change, I think. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, time for change. I mean, Vincent Kompany was like, nah, fam, you need to bounce. But I think it's like you said, Sean, I think it's important for him to stay there and try and maybe move around a bit and try to have the best possible opportunities, because these are the kind of things you don't want to look back once you're retired and be like, you know what, I should have stayed longer, a little bit longer, because coming to the PSL, it's given. Even if he comes back at 33, it's given it's going to get a contract somewhere. So why rush to get a contract knowing for a fact that it's there for you, irrespective of when you're coming back? I think with his talent, he just needs to continue, you know, doing what he's doing right now, and possibly, you know, create that inspiration in his country, in Zimbabwe, to make sure that, you know, he brings in that thing that, you know, irrespective of how difficult things may be overseas, I think this is the place where you need to be actually to improve as a footballer. Sure. And we know how important it is in his country, so I think he needs to stay there, because you don't want to be in a position where you say, you know what, I failed, because I didn't stay long. I was not patient enough. I think it's been patient for so long. I think you just need to have a new, different dressing room, a different team, a different jersey. I think that'll do him great.
Yes, definitely. I agree.
And then elsewhere, we have rumors linking Chippa United midfielder Thabo Rakgale to Kaizer Chiefs. I think this one seems a little bit more realistic in terms of how much it's been spoken about. If you get the Sokola Duma newspaper, it's a central feature in this week's edition. They're discussing, is he the right fit for Chiefs? You know, he's one of the best dribblers in the league, fantastic midfielder, creative as all hell. And, would Chiefs be able to pull him away from, why am I blanking on the coach's name?
Coach Rolani.
Rolani. Yes. Wow. Lockdown brain. Chiefs have been linked with him. Of course, they'd want some extra firepower in their midfield. It's not a direct replacement for anyone they're losing, but Thabo Rakgale is very popular. I'm sure the fans would love him. Does he fit the mold? If Chiefs were to be able to pull it off, of course, if Rakgale were to extend, then it's dead because Chiefs can't make the purchase with the transfer ban. But if he doesn't renew and the window opens up, should Chiefs sign him?
Yeah, it's a weird one, hey. I mean, I've watched him quite a few times and he's been absolutely brilliant one day and the next he doesn't even feature the next game. So for me, he's very, very hot and cold, and you cannot be a hot and cold player at a team like Kaizer Chiefs. I've seen him play in a right wing, I've seen him play as a left winger cutting in, I've seen him play as an inverted left winger. This is a player who's played over 160, 170 games in the PSL and he's only scored 10 goals.
Dude.
And he's 30 years old already. So I don't know. Like it's a bizarre one, to be honest. I don't know. Teko, help me, brother.
I've got nothing negative to say about Rakgale. He's my boy. I like him. Yes.
No. Yeah.
But the facts are, playing at the position where he's playing, I think with his talent as well, I think he should be more on the score sheet than him having too many videos of dribbling people, you know? Mm. I'll say this. I mean, at Orlando Pirates, he was a fan's favorite, and then he didn't stay there long. And if he's going to go, if that opportunity comes again for him to play for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, and it happens again, if he wants to be a fan favorite, he knows exactly where he's going to end up. You know, and the demands at a big team are big.
Yeah.
And that every game is a big game for big teams, you know. And and for Jomo as well, and not playing regularly at Chiefs, and like you said, like his consistency has always been an issue for me, where I know what he's capable of, but he's, you know, he's struggling to be consistent and to have a great season. Like, I've never been in a position where I said, you know, Rakgale had a great season this season, you know, and those are the challenges. And of course, sometimes you need to be surrounded by good players as well to be great as well.
I was about to say, yeah. Do you think it's a lack of good players around him?
Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps. Yeah. Not sometimes, all the time. It helps to have a great player surrounding you because they push you to become better and better and better every time.
Of course.
And maybe that challenge at Kaizer Chiefs might give you that, but you need to understand, Thabo needs to understand that if you go into Kaizer Chiefs, anybody that has been a crowd's favorite doesn't make it at Kaizer Chiefs. You don't play.
Yep.
And if he's able to adjust his game, work hard, and forget about being a dribbling wizard and try to make an impact for once, make a positive impact into the team. I think this is the greatest opportunity that every player wants, especially now with the playing for a team that is fighting for relegation and you want to be signed by a team that is fighting for owners. I think it's no brainer. Thabo will definitely go to Kaizer Chiefs. But also Kaizer Chiefs need to relax because their band is still there. So they need to relax. Yeah. And they're doing window shopping. You must just relax.
And I have questions there because don't they need to replace George Maluleka? And I don't know if Thabo Rakgale is the right guy to replace him.
Look, they do have players in the midfield. make no mistake, they'll never find another George Maluleka. They'll never replace him. They need to find a player that will play different than George. But the thing is also is the challenges of playing for a big team. It's not the same challenges as playing for cheaper, where, yeah, if you win, it's fine. You know, you lose, it's okay, guys. We'll do it next week. Kaizer Chiefs, that's not the case. You're expected to win every day. And if you're a crowd favorite, you're expected to do certain things all the time. Yet, and most of the time, when you're that player, you always go against the coach because the coach wants you to do this, the crowd wants you to do that. And that's the dilemma that Josh Levis also faced at Kaizer Chiefs. Njangas, we spoke about him the other day. That's the dilemma that he faced. The crowd's expecting him to do all these wonderful things, but those things, are they beneficial to the system? Are they beneficial to the team? No, they don't. They are not. So now it becomes a problem to the player. So if Thabo is willing to change his game, to take it to the next level, and to want to see himself in the Bafana team, he needs to change his game. He needs to change his mentality. And if he wants to make it big, this is an opportunity, because this kind of opportunity will never come back again.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
That is true. And I mean, you know, personally, there's just a part of me that thinks he'll work better under Rulani than Ernst Middendorp. The way I've seen Chiefs play this season, it's not a lot of flashiness. It's very direct, kind of almost German efficiency like Ernst would want. But, you know, whereas Rulani is more kind of creative, it's about the touch, it's about the composure. Maybe he'd be better there, but again, you can't pass up an opportunity like that, so I would never take anything away from the guy.
No ways.
But up next we have the car of the week. Sean Roberts, what do you have for us this week?
Yes, sir. I have seen Gerald Pirie Jr. hanging around a beautiful Mercedes. Whether it's his or not, I'm not too sure. But we know that Mercedes generally are for the more discerning buyer. He is seen sporting a C200 badge at the back, which is actually a 1.6 litre diesel. Not the quickest of cars. It takes 8.5 seconds to reach 100 k's an hour, which is damn slow. Coming short in terms of handling against his counterparts being the BMW 3 Series and the Audi A3 Saloon. All round, I'm a big fan. I think more footballers should be driving in this sort of comfort, ranging from around 400,000 to 680,000 with all the bells and whistles. That's the car of the week.
How's the interior on that one?
Beautiful, bud. All leather interior. Fantastic.
Okay, cool.
That's me, Baba.
Because that's my whole thing. If you're going to be stuck in traffic, you might as well just have a fly interior.
there's heated seats.
You know what I'm saying? Warm my butt. We close off, as always, with a motivational quote of the week. Mr. Roberts, again, take it away.
Yes, sir. I was going to give one of mine, but then I was scrolling through Instagram this morning and saw Cole Alexander write this. Success is going from failure to failure without the loss of enthusiasm. In other words, never give up, guys. Ever, ever, ever.
Yes. I love that. I love that. I love that. By the way, I came up with my rhyme for Deco. He's the man with the boot who knows how to shoot. I don't know how I didn't. I don't know how I didn't put two and two together at the beginning of
next
the show.
Next week.
I promise you, many people will disagree with you knowing how to shoot. I don't even remember the last time I took a shot at goal.
You scored against Kune from the halfway, so you can always claim. You can always claim, bro.
I don't have to claim. It's there.
But that is how we wrap up episode number 27 of The Car Wash. Big shout out again to our Mahigang FM listeners over on 96.7. That is how we wrap up Game Time.
Yes, sir.
And we shall see you all next week. From myself, Sloop Paho. Sayonara, folks.
Thanks, guys.
Away, my butas.
Away.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.